Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson from Torah Life Ministries. It's a ministry based on instructions and guidelines of our wonderful Creator. And that's why we call it the Torah, because the Torah is the first five books of the Bible, starting in Genesis. Because when you ask the average Christian, where does the Bible start? And they will tell you in the Gospels, in Matthew or something like that. Many Christians haven't even read the original covenant, or the Old Testament, as they call it, or refer to it. And the Bible's one book, folks. It's not two books. And I've seen many different translations out there. Of all the translations I've seen, I've never seen a perfect translation. Reason being is there's a page in every book that makes it less than what it could be. And that is the page that separates the original covenant from the renewed covenant, or the Old Testament from the New Testament. We need to rip out that page and understand it's not a new book. It's not a new set of instructions that came along when Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, came along. No. He pointed us right back to the guidelines and instructions and the will of our wonderful Father, Yahweh, and that is found in the Torah. Well, I was deciding what message I can give today where people can hear and be helped to understand their scriptures much more clearly, to understand the Bible and reading their Bible more clearly. And I've been giving messages on here for over a year now on this radio program, and people have been listening. And all the glory be to our wonderful Heavenly Father, Yahweh. However, you know, I didn't want to keep being repetitive in this, but I know hearing it over and over again, maybe somebody will get it. Maybe somebody will understand. Well, the good news is people are writing me all the time, Christians, telling me why and how it's wrong to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, calling me a legalist, telling me we are no longer under the law because we have grace. And they get into this thing called grace versus law. And I will submit to you that you cannot have grace versus law. You have grace because of the law. Because the law is the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And if you are willing to follow that, not out of I must do it, but out of I want to do it, then you have His grace when you're not able to meet the mark. But if you're going to purposely make an excuse or purposely deny or ignore that we have a responsibility to live a life of set apartness, a holy life, a different life than we lived before we knew Him, well, certainly you're going to need His grace, but it's a whole different story because He says, you know, He forgives those who repent, but those that there's no grace for a willful sin, as it says in the scriptures. It says it in there itself. So remember when you're listening to this message, everybody, that we don't keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator to be saved. We're only saved by the blood of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. So we're not doing this as a salvation thing. We're doing this not to be saved, but we're doing this because we are saved, and we don't want to lose that. Somebody asked me, oh, well, can we lose that? Well, you know, maybe you can't lose that if you never had it, and if you don't have a desire to please our wonderful Creator, if you don't have a desire to do His will, if your heart is the same after you accepted Yeshua as it was before, you know, it tells us in the scriptures a spiritual person judges all things. And I judge to lift people up, not tear them down. But I do not judge somebody's salvation. That is not up to me. That's up to our Heavenly Father when it comes to salvation, that special day, and you're standing in front of Him. He'll decide that and determine that. But it says clearly in the scriptures, He's told many, many people that thought they were righteous. He said, get away from me, I did not know you. You know, and that was by their works. That's how He knows us. He knows a person by their fruit. That's how we're known. So, do you want to practice sin and live in sin on a daily basis, continue to commit sin and not have any repentance for it? Or do you want to look and realize that our Creator has given us guidelines and instructions, and He wants us to live a certain way, and He wants us to be set apart from the world, but He wants our hearts to turn. He says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want you to love mercy. I want you to understand why Yeshua died for you. I want you to understand that He set you free for a reason, not that you would just continue to act and think the same way you did before you were set free. So I look at the comments that I get on a regular basis on my website and my YouTube page, under my videos and my podcast. And they're not all favorable because many Christians are trained to believe a certain message in a certain way. And I will submit to you that it goes against the will of our wonderful Creator. It goes against His Word. So this issue of grace versus law, or law versus grace. First of all, law is a really a poor translation of the word, because there are laws in the scriptures. There are man-made laws, man-made guidelines, traditions, and these things. But what our Creator gave us was a Torah. His Torah is His instructions and His guideline and His will for us. And it's not the same thing as the law. So when we hear we're no longer under the law, well, Yeshua came to set us free from the man-made law, from the man-made traditions that the sages and Pharisees were holding over the people captive because they thought they were better than everyone else. And they were making their own rules. And people were feeling they had to follow them. So Yeshua came to set them free and tell them, no, there's only one law, guideline, instruction, or whatever you want to call it. And that is the one of my Father. And that is the one Yahweh gave us in the guideline and instructions of our Creator. And that's what we need to strive for, to follow. And that's what righteousness is. And that's what it's about. Now, if you're one of the many believers out there, the so-called believers that are deceived to believe that what I'm saying is not true and what your church is saying is in fact the truth, well, I'm just going to submit to you and say, take it to our wonderful Creator in prayer. And don't take my word for it or their word for it. Take it to Him. You know, and He'll let Him reveal it to your heart. Because that's the only way you're going to get it, is that it's revealed to your heart and your heart changes on this. So I got this in front of me, this paper here, of a comment that one fellow made, but a whole bunch of comments trying to explain to me the difference between law and grace. Or, as he was putting it, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I will substitute the word Old Covenant or Old Testament and Renewed Covenant or New Testament or New Covenant with our Creator's will and the church's instructions or guideline. Or better yet, our Creator's desire for us versus the church's traditions and their will for us. And that's what we really have the choice at now. Because when Yeshua was around, He had a problem with the Pharisees. Not because it was about keeping the law or keeping the guidelines and instructions. It was about do not add or take away, but keep. And they were adding. They were adding to the guidelines and instructions. And today, you have many people in the church taking away from the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And this is creating a big problem. So when we think about this, and when I read this, you'll see the way modern Christianity teaches people to think about something. And then you'll see what the Bible says about it. And prayerfully, you'll say, well, it sounds correct here, what this fellow's saying, because this is biblical. But we've gotten away from living a biblical lifestyle or even have a biblical mind and heart. And we've unfortunately got the heart of the world. And the church is mixed with the world today. And they're just trying to please everyone, and everyone's trying to please each other. And, you know, we need to please our Creator, and that's what this show is about. That's why I do this, is to let everyone know. If we please Him, that's the most important thing. And yes, our flesh wants to do things that go against His word. And it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give into that temptation. But He's put us a foundation there to know Scripture, to know Him. So when those temptations come in, we can revert back to, hey, you know, He's our rock. You know, our rock is solid. We have a solid foundation. And that's the heart we need. And that's why we have to believe, and that's how we have to think. So law versus grace, old covenant versus new covenant. That's what really comes down to, and that's what people will make it out to, or the church will make it out to. And basically, this person first writes, he says, Christ is our Sabbath. We rest in His finished work and allow Him to work through us. So that's the statement that this fellow Christian tried to make under my videos that I've done about law versus grace or grace versus law. So again, he says, Christ is our Sabbath. We rest in His finished work and allow Him to work through us. So He's supposedly going to work through us. And then he goes on to say, in the old covenant, people had to do something for blessings, work-based. And he goes on to say, in the new covenant, well, the New Testament, we do nothing but trust in the work of Yeshua on the cross, or Christ on the cross. We have already been blessed by his sacrifice, grace-based. So right there in that statement alone, we see the difference between modern Christianity and biblical Christianity. So this person is suggesting that in the Old Testament, people had to do something for blessings. They were work-based. And he's suggesting in the New Testament, we do nothing but trust in the work of Yeshua. And we have already been blessed by his sacrifice. And I will submit to you his definition of what the new covenant is the new church today, or Christianity today, and goes against what the Bible says. And the Bible goes 100% with what this fellow said about the original covenant. And if you don't have a page in the middle separating them, you'll know they're one book, and you'll know this still stands true today. That we do have something to do for our blessings. It's by grace we have salvation, but if we want to be blessed, yes, we have to do the works. But a person is known by their fruit, and that's what righteousness is. So yes, we do have to do something for blessings. And that's not an Old Testament concept. That's a Yeshua concept. That's a biblical concept. It says, blessed are those righteous ones. He will cover the righteous ones. Cursed are those that do not do my work. Those that are living in sin and enjoying it, those will get the curses. The blessings are amongst the righteous one who are doing my works. But just like Noah was there building the ark and nobody wanted to listen, look what happened. So we see this here, and we see the difference of the thinking of modern Christianity versus biblical context or biblical words. So as we see this, then he says, Old Covenant versus New Covenant. He says, this fellow goes on to say, God's people, it's Yahweh, that's his name. So he says, God's people believe the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin. That's not just an Old Testament concept, folks. That's a biblical context, and it should convict us of sin. But this fellow goes on to say, he says, God's people believe the Holy Spirit convicts them of the righteousness of Yeshua. Of the righteousness of Yeshua. Okay, whatever's convicting you, you know, you need to repent. Change your ways and change your desires. And if you're not repenting, the conviction, it doesn't make a difference. It's not a big enough conviction to get you to repent. If your flesh is stronger and you're giving it to your flesh before you're giving it to your spirit, what difference is it going to make? You're still not being righteous. So we need to repent for not living up the right way. And we should be convicted about that. We should definitely be convicted. If I do something I shouldn't be doing, I want to feel convicted about it. I don't want to feel good about it. I don't want to make an excuse saying, well, I'm okay, I can keep living any way I want and doing whatever I want to do. This fellow goes on to say, God's people in the Old Testament confess by reviewing their sin. He says in the New Testament, God's people confess by renewing that all their sins, past, present, and future, are already forgiven. Well, I'll go ahead and say it again. The Bible concept, not the Old Testament concept, is that our Creator's people, his chosen ones, confess by reviewing their actions, reviewing their heart. And it's the modern Christianity, not the renewed covenant or the New Testament, but modern Christianity that says, oh, it doesn't matter about your sins. Your sins are forgiven past, present, and future. And that's not what the scripture says. Yeshua came to set us free from the penalty of the sin, the death penalty of sin. He didn't come to take away the consequences for us living in sin. The consequences that we suffer from on a regular basis by living against his words, his desires for us. So again, this idea of old covenant versus new covenant, or grace versus law, no, it comes down to biblical context versus modern Christianity. And sadly, in many areas, they are not the same. And we need to be aware of this, because it does say in Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. For lack of knowledge. So we need to get that knowledge, and it's biblical knowledge they're talking about there, not worldly knowledge, because we have the worldly knowledge. But we need the biblical knowledge. So getting back to this, he says, the old covenant says, and God's people are sinners, unholy, unrighteous, and imperfect. The new covenant says, God's people are saints, holy, righteous, and perfect in Yeshua. Again, we have this fella's idea of Old and New Covenant or Testament versus the biblical versus modern Christianity concept. The Bible says that we are sinners, unholy, unrighteous, and imperfect, and that's why we need Yeshua. But modern Christianity says that, oh, we're all righteous and perfect in Yeshua. No, we should be perfect in Yeshua. We can be perfect in Yeshua. But if we choose to live a life of sin on a regular basis instead of following him and being one of his sheep and answering to his call, we're far from perfect and being unrighteous. No, that is unrighteous right there. He goes on to say in his little note to me or his comment on my video, God's people are slaves to sin, according to the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God's people are slaves to righteousness. Well, the fruit speaks for itself, folks. And I will say, if you're a slave to righteousness, how come you're not living a righteous life? How come the Christian church isn't teaching righteousness? They're not following the plan of the Bible that says, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not disaster, for a future and a hope. And in Ezekiel 33:11, when it says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change their ways so they can have life. Change, to repent for their ways, their sinful ways, so they can have life within me, which I offer them through the sacrifice of Yeshua. In the Old Testament, this fellow says, God's people, and I'll say Yahweh's people, because it says call on my name, but he writes, God's people need to ask God for forgiveness. And he says, in a new covenant, God's people are already forgiven. Listen, folks, the church today, modern Christianity today, has made a curse word out of the word repent. And I am telling you, repent has to be one of the words closest and dearest to our hearts. We need to believe that. We need to have faith in that word repent. That when we repent and ask for forgiveness, you know, it doesn't say accept Yeshua. It says repent and then accept Yeshua. Repentance cannot be out of the equation. And we need to repent for those times where we're not, where our flesh is weak. We need to repent. And we need to stop using his death as an excuse for us to keep living in sin. We need to get this right, folks. We need to understand. And repent should be on our heart. It should be with us wherever we go, understanding this. You know, humbleness comes with repentance. But pride comes with thinking, well, no matter what I do, I'm perfect. And we have a choice to make, folks. In the original covenant, it says, Yahweh's people are concerned about sin in the camp. In a renewed covenant, he says, Yahweh's people rejoice that Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, has taken away all sin. You see, folks, modern Christianity versus the Bible, not Old Testament versus New Testament. In the Bible, we as believers are to be concerned about people in the camp being unrighteous. And the Bible goes so far to even tell us, after we approach them in a righteous way to lift them up and a righteous biblical protocol and approach on somebody who's in sin, if they continue to live in sin and try to call themselves believers, it says don't even eat with that person. Don't even eat with that person. So the biblical context is that we should be concerned about sin in the camp and do something about it and not fool ourselves like modern Christianity says of trying to believe that there are no sinners and everyone's perfect and we're all made clean through Yeshua no matter how we act and no matter what we do. No, you need to repent. You need to repent. So we read this and talk about past, present, and future sin and all these different things. This person says, well, it doesn't matter if it's in the camp or not because we have Yeshua. Well, if we had Yeshua, maybe it wouldn't be in the camp. Think about that instead of putting these comments here. So he also goes on saying, in the Old Testament, he says, Yahweh's people, through works, try to become righteous, holy, and, as he says, Christ-like. He says, in a new covenant, Yahweh's people are righteous, holy, perfect, and Christ-like, and allows Christ to work through them. Allows Yeshua to work through them. So even though somebody might be living in sin and their fruit might show it, he's saying that they're righteous because this is the modern Christianity idea of this. This is the half gospel that's being taught by the mega church today, making everyone feel good for living in sin. And if they feel convicted, You know, it's not that that's the bad thing. You shouldn't feel convicted. You should feel fine living in your sin because you're not doing anything wrong because you've said a couple of words with your lips. You've accepted Yeshua and you said a couple words. No, folks. No. It's not about lip service. It's about heart service. We need to give our heart to him. He goes on to say, speaking about the heart, he says, in the Old Testament, God's people had a wicked heart of stone. In the New Testament, our Creator's people has a heart of flesh, which is identical to the heart of Yeshua. No, again, that's the modern Christianity versus the biblical context. In a biblical context, you know, and even today, you know, our heart and our flesh and our desires without his spirit is an evil, wicked thing. You know, when we hear that Yahweh sees our heart, that's not a good thing. You know, I don't want him to see my heart. I want my heart to be more like his. But this person's saying in the New Testament here, the heart of flesh was identical to Yeshua. No, that's the biblical part of it. Modern Christianity will say, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter what our actions are doing. You know, as long as we accept Yeshua, he will change our ways and we'll be like him. Well, I know a lot of people that aren't repenting. I know a lot of people that are believing this lie of modern Christianity today that is still stuck in Babylon and their actions aren't changing because their heart's not changing. If you want your heart to change and be more like him, there's a saying, if you keep doing the same thing and expect a different result, that is the definition of insanity. And I will say, in a righteous, humble way, there are a lot of insane so-called believers out there fooling themselves. Yeshua says again, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. So it's not an easy message to hear, but you know what? It's a message that needs to be told, and it's a message that we're told in the scriptures because it's the message Yeshua told. He taught the Torah, he taught the guidelines and instructions, and prior to Yeshua coming, all the saints and the people in scriptures look forward to Yeshua's coming, look forward to Messiah. And now that Yeshua's here, we have to look back at what Yeshua taught us and what he showed us so we can look ahead, so we know where we're going. He says here, this fellow says in the original covenant, he says, God's people believe that sin separates us from God. In the new covenant, Yahweh's people believe nothing can separate them from the love of Yahweh. Again, we have the, let me rephrase that, okay? Here's what I'm saying, folks. In the Bible, it says, Yahweh's people believe that sin separates us from him, from Yahweh. Modern Christianity says, God's people believe nothing can separate them from the love of God. Well, ask that to the ones in Scripture when it says in the Scriptures that he hates workers of iniquity. Psalm 6:6. He hates workers of iniquity. He hated Esau. He hated Esau. And somebody might say, well, these weren't Yahweh's people. Well, what makes them not his people? Their unrighteousness, their unrighteous heart, their lack of repentance. So no, you know, sin does separate us from our wonderful Creator. Because if we were truly changed and we truly accepted Yeshua and we were following his voice, we would repent for our sin and we wouldn't use that excuse to keep living in sin. There's a couple more here. He goes on saying the original covenant. He says, Yahweh's people separate themselves from the unclean things to be holy or set apart. He said in the new covenant, Yahweh's people are sanctified by holiness through Yeshua. Again, we have modern Christianity versus the Bible, not Old versus New Testament. Yahweh's people separate themselves from the things that our Creator calls an abomination. Because if you partake in those things, you are living in sin. And you do not have the love of Yeshua on your heart. You do not have the desires that he has. And you're not following his will for you. But if you want to make the excuse, start saying that we're sanctified and we're holy because we've accepted Yeshua so we can go keep living in sin. Well, you keep making an excuse for your sin while I go and try to be set apart according to our Creator's guidelines and instructions. And then we have him saying in the original covenant, or the Old Testament, God's people separate themselves from unclean things. Well, we already read that one. Let's go to the next one. He says, God's people are sin conscious. And in a new covenant, God's people are Christ conscious. That's what this Christian says. Well, we need to understand and about sin, and we need to fear our Creator. And if we feared our Creator, we would have no desire to sin. We'd be sick of it. We wouldn't want anything to do with it. And to do that, we have to know what it is. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of good and evil, lack of righteousness. So we need to know it. We need to live it. And we go here to the last one. It says, in the Old Covenant, he writes, Yahweh's people are focused on self-sacrifice and human works. In the Renewed Covenant, Yahweh's people are focused on the sacrifice of Yeshua and his finished work alone. Well, again, we have a biblical context here of, and which this fellow's calling the original covenant or the Old Testament. Yahweh's people are focused on self-sacrifice and human works. We, every morning, are to remember what Yeshua did for us. Every single day, remember what he did for us, setting us free from death row. But we are to sacrifice our flesh on a daily basis as well, from our own desires. Because we know and we have faith in the unseen. We have faith knowing that he is Messiah. And as he says here, our Creator's people are focused on the sacrifice of Yeshua and his finished work alone. Well, if we're truly looking at the sacrifice of Yeshua, we look at the purpose of his sacrifice. And it's not that we would keep living the same way and having the same desires, the same pride, the same selfishness, and the same unholiness as we had after his sacrifice. He came to set us free so we would not go back there, so we'd come out of bondage and not continue to be in slavery. And no matter what somebody's doing to us to oppress us, we know we have freedom in Yeshua because he set us free from our old evil selves. And through his spirit, we have a whole new freedom. And we know the truth, and the truth has set us free. So folks, there you have it. Just another comment that I get on my website of the way people think. It's not about Old Testament versus New Testament or Old Covenant versus Renewed Covenant. It's about the Bible, the word of our Creator, and Yahweh, and Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, versus modern Christianity and the world's ways and what the world's throwing at you. It's about storing treasures up in heaven and looking forward to the eternity with him versus staying here and staying stuck in Babylon and thinking we know better than our Creator is. That does. Because I tell you this, you know, he is smarter than we are, folks. No matter what you think. It says in the scriptures, there's a path before each person that seems right but ends in death. And I want you to realize that and think about that. Our Creator says he offers us a more excellent way. And if you're interested in a more excellent way, you know, read your Bibles and pray about what it's saying. Don't take my word for it or some man's word for it that you call a pastor. Read the Bible and take it to our Creator and see what he reveals to you about these things. And may he reveal the truth to you. And may that truth set you free. Hallelujah means praise a wonderful Creator. And praise him for the people that are listening, the people that are getting this. And for those that are don't get it, you know, we keep praying for them and we keep praying for you. And iron sharpens iron. So, hallelujah. Thank you so much for listening.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida 33466. And thank you for your prayers and generous support.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solus Roofing Contractors Incorporated. Solus Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solus Roofing Contractors Incorporated, licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solus Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
Here I am, God, I'm the chief of sinners, pretending that I'm not, but who am I kidding? You already know the truth, so why would I lie to you? You don't need my pride, you don't need my excuses. Without the blood of Jesus, the best of me is useless, and I'm unqualified for heaven. But you said that I'm forgiven. Jesus, friend of sinners, your heart is full of grace. Love me long before I wanted to change. Jesus, friend of sinners, your table is where I find that someone just like me could sit by your
our side. The friend of sinners is a friend.